Recreation Committee.
Steven.
Mallory.
Yeah.
What's that?
You said Steven?
Yep, Steven.
Yeah.
So just a reminder, so we've been having, now that we have committee assignments, it's all a shuffle, so we have new committee chairs assigning. So Mallory is the chair of the Recreation Committee, absolutely. And Steven is prepared to talk about video gaming.
I'm a gaming website, which really, actually really user-friendly. I was able to download some information. I included a brief overview of what it looks like. I also have some information on the park districts and forest preserve districts in Illinois, which are referred to in that note in my top end. It shows you the detail of what they did. And I organized their information. I actually was able to download the information in the same period as our fiscal year would be. So the 12 months ended April this year. And so for comparative purposes, these are obviously golf courses that the forest preserve and park district have. So it's become such a commonplace thing now they've crossed very and socially acceptable. And it's a nice source of revenue. And I think it would, if the board is willing to do it, it would certainly be something that would be low entry cost and contribute to our bottom line, as well as offer something for our another service for constituents that enjoy doing it. And I will say that in comparison to other establishments, the park districts and forest service districts, they're generally kind of a little bit below average. And I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that we don't have the hours.
Right.
I don't live till 1 in the morning. And we don't typically have a bar where people are hanging out all night and playing games. So it's just something to offer our conference. And we're talking only about buns and Lincoln Green.
Yeah.
Because it would not be worth it on A-hole courses.
So is this something you bid out?
Or
are there multiple vendors?
There are multiple vendors. There's one I know offhand is called J&J Gaming. There's three or four of them. We certainly could bid it. I mean, that would...
You absolutely should. Yeah.
But the fees and everything are defined by the state. They get to share. So there's a network, the electronic network that the state runs that attaches all of the games to this main network is contracted by the state with the third-party provider. And so they get 0.8% off the top and in the background. And then you have these gaming companies. They provide the games, they service the games, they service the machines. If something goes wrong, our staff would be like, well, here's the card of the person to call because I can't.
And don't they also turn over the necessary taxes for state, local, et cetera?
We just get a check. Or an ATA, probably.
Yeah.
Money just comes into our account.
Well, I agree with everything you said, and I was on the city council when this all started. And a lot of the stigma that we were dealing with as a city when we were considering this, like I said, is gone. I can't think of a gas station or a restaurant or a bar unless the restaurant has chosen to get rid of them. Like, I know a restaurant that got them in, but they didn't like the clientele it brought, so they got rid of them. I don't think the stigma's there anymore.
No.
Mm-hmm. I really don't. Now, once again, I think the limitations, so we're not talking half field, we're just talking Bun and Lincoln Green.
Correct.
I don't know why we wouldn't do it at Hatfield and Perkins.
There's some compliance issues. We will have a little bit of investment because we have to cordon off the area where their games are. And under 21 is not admitted to that area. But other than that, I mean, it's turnkey.
Right. I mean,
have any concerns?
A lot of people hang out at Passfield, especially...
The Bun break-in not that long ago over here. Do we have any concerns that the video gaming would entice someone to try to break the machine? Because I don't hear very much about video gaming machines getting broken.
There's no money in them.
I don't have any concerns with it. And in months past, executive director and I had some pretty detailed discussions. And probably for the shock of many, I'm one of the biggest proponents of this as a potential revenue source for the park district. And those things just are not on a wide scale getting broken into. There was a large burglary ring, the same people that did all of them, that hit a bunch around the lake in Edinburgh and Pawnee about 15, 16 months ago. Prior to that, and since that, it has been quite few, if any, when those have occurred, because there's really no money to be taken from them.
They're steady.
It's electronic thing.
It's a cash machine.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably to the surprise of many, I think it could be a wonderful source of revenue. Of course, I'm just looking at more greenbacks coming to the police department. But I don't have major concerns with it whatsoever. I think it's a good thing. I think we've moved well beyond the point in time where the discussion of is this right, is this proper. I think we're beyond that.
Yep.
And we already have a liquor license and we're serving people beer, and I think we'd make a surprising amount of money. Leading up to the discussion, I have the executive director, had a lengthy discussion with an unnamed vendor here in town who was well known for having 10 machines, and he painted me an extremely rosy picture of even in, as he called it, neglectful conditions, what you could expect to make on those machines in a year. And I backed that up by looking online, and it's a significant.
Yeah.
I would just say that I think we should consider putting them in at Bergen and Passfield. I don't think there's any cost to us, anything of any substance to us, and especially at Passfield. I mean, we get, you know, there are the guys that have coffee there all year round.
And I would guess my question would be what will we need to change at Bergen and Passfield?
Yeah, I think the reason we looked at the two is just kind of a traffic thing. Fun gets double at least the traffic. So if you look at the hierarchy of our forces in traffic, Lake Green is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit better than what we get at Bun. And then next would be Passfield, and it's not half.
Right.
And then Bergen is...
But that's based on play. That isn't necessarily based on the people who are coming in there. Because
are the bar areas there?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
we don't have a bar.
That's the real thing I was wondering. Do we have a bar?
Yeah, those guys reach. Yeah, but the Passfield and Bergen. Passfield would have, actually, I think Bergen would have it, but space. We'd have to just make a little more accommodation for
them. How about, I've got two comments. One is that I think that the golf courses really are the only place to consider.
I would agree.
I know in the past, the previous baseball team owner, Todd Miller, came forward. First he went to the city, then he found out he had to go through the park board. And he had interest in putting video game machines at the Robin Roberts Stadium. I don't think that's a good idea at all.
I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But, you know, it's a new beer garden. Why not?
Yeah, Todd just wanted them, I think, in their stadium.
Well, he just wanted them in the stadium.
In the stadium club.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing at a time.
Yeah. Right. So I think going forward, these two for now.
Yeah.
And then if this works,
sure. We
could look at the other two golf courses.
I'm game for that.
Send the win.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I take it we're pretty gambling.
Yeah. We'll take it for a spin. Yes. What did Valerie say?
You betcha.
Oh, good one. Just don't double down on that. Okay. Thank you, guys. Do we need to go to the board with that, or is that?
Well, we were asking for the board's approval to move forward with the plan. At some point, it will take board action.
No, we can do it next week.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Or
okay.
We need board action when we actually have a vendor.
I don't think so.
I think the board needs to approve the vendor. Just the concept. I mean, this is a dynamic change for the Park District. It's something new, so I'd like the board's support of that formally.
Yeah, we'll do it next week.
Yeah. Okay.
Nancy, you're up.
Grant Marketing heads up or update on the ArcWide grant update.
Yep.
And the board, FY24.
Yep. So just as a reminder, last month we talked about the FY24 OSLOD grant and opportunity to apply for an OSLOD grant to improve Lincoln Park Playground. Staff recommended and the board agreed that we would apply for a grant if and only if we were considered a distressed community, meaning that we could apply for a $600,000 grant and it would not require any local match. So we could do a $600,000 improvement and it wouldn't cost us any funding. We've worked closely with IDNR since then to try to figure out if we're considered distressed or not. It came out with a new way of categorizing townships and municipalities and park districts that was very confusing to the leader. So we've been working closely with them to try to get a clarification of whether we're in or whether we're out. In the end, I just got an email from their deputy director, Simi, this week that says Springfield Park District is not considered a distressed community this cycle, specifically because we were awarded a grant under distressed community last cycle, and they want to give opportunities to other communities throughout the state that are distressed that have not received a grant. So that said, we do not qualify as a distressed community. So staff does not recommend that we apply for a grant this cycle, as much as it pains us to do that. If we were to apply for a grant, we would be limited to $400,000, and it would require us to put up $400,000 for our local match.
But we could apply for less. So we could apply for $200,000.
We could.
I mean, or...
We could. The grant is due August 31st, like in 2 weeks. We have to have a public hearing, and we have to have a grant writer to write this. I have been pushing our grant writer back. He has been chopping at the bit to get going because this is an incredibly detailed application process. I've pushed him back until tomorrow so we could have a discussion with the board tonight. It's either go or no tomorrow.
But my point is, I get that, but I hate to leave a grant cycle completely, and for a playground system, how much we apply for is up to us. I mean, you don't have to apply for 600, it's 50%, but to leave a couple hundred grand on the table and not even try for it seems...
Would that affect... or if we're a distressed community next cycle,
yes. Would IDNR, sometimes it's difficult to get the details of how they administer things. So in the past, they had this point system, but it was behind the scenes and it wasn't like necessarily open to the public. The way that they've changed their list, they've kind of opened that up. Their previous rule said that you're disqualified for 30 years. They said they've changed that to correct that, but I don't know what that means. Does that mean it's something less than that? I don't know what it
means.
What's
disqualified?
If you receive a grant before, so then you're disqualified for a
grant.
Right, absolutely. You would be disqualified.
Now, is that going to happen on the museum grant?
You can still apply for a grant, but you wouldn't get the distressed community grant. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
just limited to OSLOD.
You know, we've dipped OSLOD pretty hard and done really well with
it. We have done extremely well with OSLOD. And again, just last time we met with this board, we had said Lincoln Park Playground, $600,000 if distressed. If not distressed, we wouldn't apply.
Well, we talked about that, but I don't know. I mean, it's up to the board, but I hate to... not apply at all, even if it's 50-50, and we have some ability to fund it.
So if we wanted to fund it out of the bond.
Nope.
Okay.
We have other methods.
You want to take it out of fund balance?
We have all kinds of places we can look to, and you know that.
Yeah, let's use
it. So I'm just saying, I don't know.
When we're talking the scale of things, though, if we're looking north end, just devil's advocate here, I still think that with Lincoln Park being, as we all agree, one of the two faces of the Park District when it comes to parks, Lincoln and Washington, if we were thinking something smaller, I would almost push to say that we should consider a different north end park like in
that's
Minnesota.
Fine.
But on
or
the
Fairview.
On the flip
desperately
side,
needs it.
I still think just from the conversation I had with one of our representatives, as well as I know that Derek reached out, it sounds like we need to lay off an odd lot to get the next odd lot, is what it really sounds
well,
like.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You hate to just let something go by, but and it sounds like, no pun intended, we're gambling, like, we're not going to get, I can't stop. But I don't want to throw away our opportunity to get $600,000.
Next year,
yeah,
or in 6 months.
You know, because this would cost us, if we apply for $200,000, that's going to cost us $200,000, whereas if we wait, we put ourselves in a better opportunity to make. Yeah.
So are we disqualified from getting being a distressed community for 30 years?
I cannot answer that question. I'm not the gatekeeper there, and I cannot. It took us a month to get clarification from IDNR whether we're distressed or not, and not until just this week did we get clarification.
But you think?
I don't know. And I don't want to make a commitment.
I don't think
the board. I think they're in flux. I think they're changing some things around. So I can't. I just can't answer the question.
So
it's possible.
It's safe to say we're disqualified for some period of time.
Right.
We just don't know how long.
Did they tell us that?
That's basically what I heard.
No.
When we applied.
No.
Did they say this is it for you guys for the next 30 years?
That was something that was going on in the background and we didn't know about. We just now kind of found out about it.
And that's,
I don't
that's
know.
Kind of
like,
not that I'm. I mean, I'm happy about
complain.
It, but
I don't know if some communities complained or some state reps complained. But the gist of the conversation I had is that they need to spread the money around the areas that weren't getting it.
Right.
Okay.
That's what they're trying.
I am okay. I'm not happy.
Okay. I'm not either.
I am going to be okay with this. In through my nose. But, gosh, I hate this.
I do too. I couldn't agree more.
And what about land and water conservation money? I saw something that says they're going to open that up too, but that's 50-50.
It's 50-50, and the only land and water reserve we have is
Riverside
Park now.
Yeah.
And it does not include the campground. It does not include the BMX course, which is where we probably look to make improvements. Anything we do in the bottoms there is just going to get washed away.
I know.
Playground or any other rec amenities. So.
Okay. We can move on.
But we don't need action there. We've received more than our fair share. We've done a great job with it.
Take that. we have projects that need to happen that can't happen if we don't
I don't
have
disagree
help.
With that. I don't disagree with that.
Just saying. All right. Charlie, take me out of this.
Oh,
Gergens.
So Prairie Power Line plans to rebuild a connecting electrical power line connecting Amherst and Andrews substations to improve the reliability and quality of electrical service for the area. I'd like to turn over to Jason for more details on the matter.
Good. Jason, I will just tell you this. Good one, Charlie. Well done. Yes, I like that. You got that far into it. That's further than I am. But Jason, I will tell you, Gergens is all trees, and it's basically, I mean, that and Carpenter.
Yeah, there's.
I'm not really excited about this.
Yeah, there's an existing easement already there.
Oh.
Along with the power lines that are already there.
Oh.
So there was an easement that was, I don't know the exact date of it, but
they're doing some updates to the power line that's at the substation. And with that, they found that one section that did not have an easement on it.
But their lines are already there?
Lines are already there. It's kind of a cleanup thing on their end.
Are they going to pay us for it?
Yes, they are. We're
okay.
Going to pay us our rate, which we already submitted for them, which is $5,400. So it's a cleanup thing on there. We want to go back and study the nature preserve.
It's kind of...
Not at first, but we'll provide some type of direction on if we think we should or not. But today's separate discussion. It just came in late last week, so...
All right.
So there's no real work being done. It's already there.
There'll be work being done. Some upgrades that were kind of messed up in the derecho.
They're not gonna mess up any trees, are they?
Well, that's what I was just gonna ask. Are they gonna trim the trees back in the easement at their cost?
They do that already, yes.
But no more than they already do.
Correct. They already do all that anyway.
Because they're kind of butchers.
They butcher more on our bike trails.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. Okay. All right. You're okay. You'll report back to us. All right. And I'm just batting 1,000 today. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Jason.
Yes.
Police? Chief?
So, the monthly report that we submitted for the month of July, July was a very busy month, but it wasn't busy in terms of serious crime, and I'm happy to report that. More than usual community policing activities. Happy to report that. We stand, as of the very moment here, about 5,200 total police calls for service for this year, which is the most we've ever had in the history of record keeping in history. Again, like I always say, that the general average for the last 30 years tended to be around 3,000, with a low year, I think it was in 2014 and both 2015, that shot up to over 4,000 during COVID. It's never come back down. We ended last year at 4,725 or something like that. That was our highest number ever. We're well past that number now, and we're not even through August yet. We haven't started to take care yet. So for a multitude of reasons, it's been our busiest year ever. The summer theme has mainly been petty juvenile nuisance crimes. Very few adult arrests. As noted in that report, we did have one significant incident out at Riverside Campground involving a DCFS case and a warrant arrest, and then a separate warrant arrest in Duncan Park for a person that was wanted on charges for assaulting a federal postal employee. So those were two more significant warrant arrests for the month of July. And behind the scenes during the month of July, the police department worked real hard to get together not all, but a significant number of the 60 bicycles that were given away last week out of Comer Cox Park. Many of those came from us. Quite a few of the ones that didn't come from us came from our contacts in the community. They were Frankenstein together along with some new bikes. And I just want to specifically mention Officer Butch Cusshorn, who really took the lead in that. And we used up a lot of other police department favors to empty our few bank bike holding tanks, and that event went off really, really, really well.
60 bikes. That's fantastic, too. That is just fantastic.
About 300 people in attendance out there. It was a massive event. It was a wonderful thing. National Night Out went quite well for us at every location that we were present at. Tremendous public feedback on how cool Enos Park is, and how much the behind-the-scenes stuff with the engineering element of better lighting and trimming back the bushes has significantly dropped both crime and, more importantly, the fear of crime in that park. And before I'm too long-winded, we have State Fair Parade tomorrow, which is probably one of our top three events of the year, so we stand ready for that. And for the first time ever, we were invited to the Illinois State Police mock disaster drill for that event, and I attended that and was pleased to see many people that I trained are now running this place, and that was kind of cool. And we have we just finished a major car cruise event last Friday night down the MacArthur. If you haven't been down the MacArthur way, I'll say this when I close out, please take a cruise down there. The Traffic Safety Island is a magnificent thing. It has lower speed.
It's a little controversial.
It is a little controversial.
A little controversial, but it's working.
But I tell you, this one was done. The few things where I just basically admit I have pretty much have a one side of the coin view on that. I could make it safer and slow things down.
It has done that.
It's doing both.
Wonderful.
It's doing both, and the speeds have decreased just astronomically,
mm-hmm.
and the safety's gone up, and it's one of the best things in my team that ever got done. If you have a team, you have to screw through and take a look at it.
That has been, that intersection has just been...
Played this.
It slowed me down.
I purposely avoided it. The roundabout, I wanted people to get used to it before I tried to go driving by it, but I may go by tonight just to see.
Yeah.
It's super nice.
It is nice.
Nice.
And for those people crossing MacArthur on Williams, it's just a blessing.
He brought up National Night Out, and this is something I meant to email the two of you, and I forgot. I'm getting old.
I'm older than
someone you. Suggested to me why, or they asked, why isn't the Park District actually doing something on National Night Out? Why don't we have a presence where the board and staff are at, you know, a different park each year or two different parks, and we have the, like the, what is it, the we have the kick, tic-tac-toe or something like that, the soccer golf. We got some other things
football.
We have some things that we used to take out to like the Levitt Amphitheater thing downtown and some other stuff. They said, why don't you guys, you know, the aldermen and the other elected officials do these different open houses by going to the neighborhood associations, and that's not something we can do. We have too many.
Yeah.
But they said, why doesn't the park get involved and have an actual National Night Out presence where if people want to come and learn about the park or just meet the park board members?
Well, hey, why don't you talk to Angie?
Just a little bit of feedback. So right. We're very involved with the one at Isles Park and the one at Enos Park as well. I know we had ribbon cutting connection with one at Enos Park. We had a board member that attended that. We had our police squad cars out at both those events. I was there personally. Chief Murphy was attending both of those. So maybe we need to, staff needs to do a better job. Just keeping
you know, not only that, maybe, Chris, why don't you talk to Angie and Derek about what you'd like to see for next year?
Well, I just think it was a constituent comment.
Yeah.
And
I agree. I mean, we do some stuff, but we can always talk about, you know,
we were actually in three parks that night because we were in Comer Cox that night as well. So that coincided with National Night.
Maybe we just need to highlight the fact that we're already doing this on the social media.
Yeah, well, Comer Cox was all over Facebook. I know that. And so was Enos.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I didn't go anywhere National Night Out.
I was traveling.
But it was just one of those things that somebody was talking to me about it, and they're like, you know, why doesn't the park just make a bigger presence on that?
But they should just, you should have said, you should be paying attention.
I don't know.
Not you. I meant them.
Yeah.
Okay. Stephen, finance?
I wanted to let everyone know that we had some timing differences. You mentioned to me earlier about the tax revenue. We had the county, for some reason, was really fast in the disbursement this year. So May was way up, but then June fell back and we were behind. So on a year-to-date basis, we're only $108 grand from them, which is pretty close to $7.75 million, actually. And then I wanted to mention that HR, from the HR perspective, it's still really tough to find people who want to work. We are slowing down a little bit. I've noticed it slowed down a little bit. And always kind of does this on fair time. But then after the fair, you know, pick up again in
November.
Until autumn, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we're at, and if anybody has any specific questions about any of the finance details, I'm happy to use them.
Okay.
I do want to tell you, too, that one of the things about the National Night Out, at least this is just my observation from dealing with people, is that it's almost like it's kind of a neighborhood takes
the lead.
They're taking the neighborhood back.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I look at it, because it is, it's neighborhood associations who are running this.
Yep.
And we participate with them and help them and everything, but it, I mean, that's kind of the perspective that I see. They're the Keenest Park and Isles are two that are really super active neighborhood associations. They're all over.
Yeah.
And it's, I know that the neighborhood I live in does do events at Split Park, but they are not very active at all as an association. So,
yeah.
That's just my observation.
A lot of them do use the parks.
Yeah.
They do things.
It's interesting because we have some pretty active neighborhood associations like the Franklin Park Neighborhood Association, mm-hmm. right? But I don't think they do that.
They don't.
But maybe they don't feel that is something that's, you know, they'd want to put their energy toward in their neighborhood.
Sure.
Yeah, I think the Isles and the Enos, those neighborhoods also have some issues.
Yes.
That they deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
No, I'm talking about no, they have other issues that they deal with on a day-to-day basis. And so I think that's part of it.
Don't make trouble over there.
Good one.
Angie?
We wanted to give you some more definitive numbers from the Unplug Illinois and Amanda ran some numbers. I'll share those with you, which is what they were the Saturday before. So on July the 8th, the Nelson Center from 4:30 to 5:30 had zero patrons. And on Unplug, we had 165.
Wow.
The pool, on the previous Saturday from 4 to 6, had 21 patrons. And on Unplugged, we had 405.
Wow.
The Vet Pool from 4 to 5 on the previous Saturday, there were 2 patrons. And then on Unplugged, for those 2 free hours, there were 361.
Mm-hmm.
The Zoo from 3 to 5 on July the 8th, the previous Saturday, there were 35 patrons. And then on the Unplugged day, there were 946. So by adding just a very, very small 2-hour block of time, and
okay.
1 hour, and the other facility was 2 free hours.
I think that is
a lot of folks.
Fantastic. I will tell you, it just goes to underscore what I always say, that what we charge or don't charge the public makes a huge difference in people's, whether it is real or in their ability to access and utilize our facilities. And it's something I am passionate about. I know we walk a line between covering our expenses, but think about that. When it's free.
The zoo this past weekend was free, and it was packed.
Yeah. We also put a full court press on marketing, too, to get the message out. Something special, it's new, you know.
I love seeing
I love it, by
free course. Options being offered, because a lot of times you'll get some. Yeah, you get the people who are just looking for the free, but sometimes you get somebody who may be their first time. And by letting them in the door for free, they see enough that they actually want to come back next time.
Absolutely fair.
So,
anyway, great work. That wasn't to say, that's just my own personal struggle with you know, because I love that people are coming out. I mean, 900 people to come through the zoo in a 2-hour period. That young man who sits behind the counter at the zoo, he gets flustered when there are 2 of us in line. So I don't know how he handled 950.
He probably got help.
he maybe needed a day off the next day. That's all I'm saying. He's a lovely guy, but. Oh my gosh. Okay. Thank you, Angie, and thank you for those numbers. That is impressive, and it's kudos to staff and your team for putting that out there and what you were able to do. All right, troublemaker, you're up next.
just a high-level update. Obviously, we're still working on farm cleanup. It's still everywhere. We made a big dent in it, though, but we'll continue to keep doing that. Haven't received any complaints on it. I hope you haven't as well, but if you do, give them
compliments.
Great.
Compliments.
Good.
I had the one thing that came through an alderman, and oh my gosh, he was thrilled. Like, you guys were out there, and it was whatever it was.
If you get something, we take it as high priority. We'll switch gears and get that stuff taken care of.
Much appreciated.
We're doing really good on that. The zoo building is right on schedule. I don't know if anybody's been out there lately, if you saw it, okay? So it's good. It's coming along really nice.
Dad, do you have any thoughts on when that might be finished?
The
project that will never
end. We have a lot of thoughts.
The project that will never end.
I have a lot of thoughts. I have a grant agreement deadline that I'm ignoring. So I have a lot of thoughts in my mind. Hopefully we'll stay on schedule. If you remember right, DNRD was the extension on this one because we had revisited. So we hit the downside.
What is the deadline?
December 31st.
Okay. And you're worried about that?
Well, of course, that's 24th.
Okay.
You've been discovering that a lot of times you can't get material, away.
I know.
And DNR's been very good with us, so we'll see. But we're on schedule right now, so.
Okay. Good job.
Kiwanis, Oslo, we're working on that. We got rained out the past couple of days. But we're starting to get the paving over there, getting all that done. I hope Edith and Grimman was a good ribbon cutting. I was able to make that. Hopefully the park, if you were there, if you saw the park, you just have a new playground, the new lights, the light poles.
Enos looks amazing.
Great.
All the new
over there, so, and staff did a lot of that stuff in-house, pretty much everything except for the playground. So that was a big thanks to all of our guys in the maintenance department with that. So that's pretty much it. That's roughly it. So if anybody else has anything, let me know.
Thank you. Eric, you have anything else? No. All right. With that, motion to adjourn. In a second. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed?